Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Some time ago, and I'm trying to remember how long ago it was, but as you know, 2020 is an elastic feeling year. So it could have been yesterday, but it wasn't because he was in studio. It could have been 2 years ago, but I really don't remember. We spoke to President and CEO of the virtual actuary, Adi Kaimovitz. And what we spoke to him about at the time was this trend that was starting to happen about building and working through consortiums. Now, at the time, it was a very interesting idea, but 2020 has placed further focus on this. How do we work virtually? A lot of the world struggled to figure this out, but some people were already ahead of this game. Adi, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Hello, Howard. Good morning. I'm well, thank you.
So, when were you in studio? When was that?
Exactly 1 year ago.
All right, so there we go. And it was almost prophetic in a way, because you've been working on this whole virtual concept for some time. You could never have anticipated what 2020 was going to do, obviously, but you were well positioned to be able I wouldn't say take advantage, but to be able to adapt and help other people adapt through this. Take us through your thought process.
I think anybody that has sat in traffic before is thinking to themselves, how long can this go on for? Surely this has to stop. So that was really the thought process, is that for how long will we commute and go and sit in big offices and sit in a cubicle and just be completely inefficient? You know, the days of sitting at the office and waiting for a fax to arrive are gone. They're gone. You know, the fact that we still have to put fax numbers on our communication documents is just unacceptable. So I think there's some people that feel that it's okay and some people that feel that it's not. So I felt that it's not. So what were we going to do about it? We were going to open a consulting business that was more so going to operate digitally. So that's pretty much what we did. You know, I think some people can take a long time to realize that we're living in a digital world, and we realized a while ago. So that's what we did.
So I was chatting to somebody yesterday, and he said to me, honestly, what do I think let's just assume the vaccine comes along and its efficacy is, as they say, more than 95%, and we burn our masks. Are we ever going back to where we were? Because to some extent, total lockdown, where we're all working at home, is uncomplicated because we're all working at home. All of us working at an office is also uncomplicated because we're all there. But now, when we have a situation where some people could be at work, some people could be working remotely, what do you think it'll look like a year from now?
So I think it depends on who you ask. You know, I think that you're going to be more so digital, but then you definitely, you know, you can't just get rid of the buildings, okay? So it's definitely going to even out, and then I think it's going to go more so on the side of digital, because people have so much invested in those buildings and the old way of doing things. It's almost like saying, are you going to write emails or are you going to write somebody a handwritten letter? Mm-hmm. You know, so you will write a handwritten letter because it gives you that feel good factor, but emails are just significantly more efficient. So I think what's going to happen is that it's going to sway more towards going back to the olden days, but then people are going to look around and say, you know, actually, to be honest with you, I was actually enjoying being at home. And then it's going to sway more towards the digital. So that's what I think will happen. It's almost like a wave in a bath. It kind of like sways backwards and forwards, and then it settles. And depending on what side of the bath you sit on, you know, so that's what I think.
And to some extent, this has brought people closer. What I've noticed in the work environment that I'm involved in, and obviously based in Johannesburg, the Cape Town office was always seen as a little bit distant. But now that everybody's actually been working remotely, the Cape Town office has come a lot closer, because all of a sudden it was irrelevant that they are working in Constantia, wherever they're working, and we're sitting in Melrose Arch. It actually makes no difference, because everybody company has been working remotely. So all of a sudden, people start to view the talent pool and the skill sets in Cape Town like they would the person sitting on the opposite side of the office locally, because no one's there anyway.
Yeah, so I think that what has happened around the world is a traumatic event. Mm. So when a traumatic event happens, it causes people to really take action. So I think what's going to happen now is, you know, if somebody was going to action something in their business, they're more so going to do it now. And I think the way of working, if we were talking about consortiums so I think that if we're really looking at how do we operate as business people, this is, I think, where the sway is going to go now, is that either if you're going to open a business, you can open a normal business, you know, get a loan, get office space, hire people and go through that process. But then in the back of your mind, I think you're thinking, but hold on a second, you know, I lost a lot of money on rent. I lost a lot of money on all the salaries. And is there a different way of doing things? And so we adopted a different way, which is a little bit leaner and kind of almost like a vending machine, to say, well, hold on a second, you know, can we get the products into a way that is a little bit more efficient and in front of the client without having to commit to all the fixed expenses? So that's kind of like the thinking of the consortium that we operate, and we can delve into it a little bit more now, of course.
Yeah, I'd like to hear. So what is that? So that effectively means I'm outsourcing a function. I don't need a full department, and I don't need to employ the people. I can actually call on these consortium. I can call on them when I need it.
Yeah, so a great example would be if you wanted to run a radio station. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to hire all the presenters. You don't have to hire the studio space. You don't have to hire all the engineers that sit in house, and you don't have to own an audio equipment company. Mm. So what happens is you're putting on the show, you're producing the show. Everybody works, you know, remotely, mm-hmm. but the quality of the show still gets pushed out exactly the same. The only difference is when you're working, you're tapping into those that are contributing to that particular show, whether it's a year-long show, whatever, however long the segment is. Sometimes you need special reporters, you'll bring them in. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to have a team of special reporters. So that's really what the consortium is about. It's really about you as a standalone business that is able to contribute to the greater, to the goal. What is the goal? We want to push out this product. We want to push out the service because somebody's going to consume it on the other side. Okay. So who are the players that we need in order to produce that? Let's rent them on an ongoing basis. And then what happens is if you're in that industry, you're going to make yourself available to all the different producers, all the different people that are involved in that process to get that product to the end user. And you're going to say, I'm ready to work. You know, just book me. Some people take initiative and then they go and they find work for everybody else that's involved. And other people don't have they have a different skill set. So they'll say, well, look, I'm a great designer, but I'm not great at finding the clients. So I'm making myself available to do the design work. Let me know. And that's how the whole system works. The ecosystem works where everybody knows what their skill set is, but everybody knows what the goal is, what you're trying to achieve. The only difference is we all don't work for one company full time with the management team paying salaries. That's really the only difference. Is everyone gets paid for their part when the end user gets their product. That's the real thing about a consortium. The easiest thing to look at it is a massive roadworks project where you've got the architects and the people that do the trucking and the people that dig and the people that do the cement and whatever is involved in a roadworks project. It's a big consortium of different little companies, but the end product is someone's going to pay for the road, and then when that project is finished, everyone either dissipates or moves on to the next project. That's the only difference.
Mm. It's quite scary. I mean, when you're talking about it, I've been monitoring my own reaction to it, and there's some anxiety around that. You know, we felt very safe in our companies and knowing that we have the skill set dedicated to us. It does require or demand quite a bit of courage to make that shift, doesn't it?
Definitely. There's no doubt about it. You know, when I always said at 5 o'clock in the evening when you drive home, what are you thinking? Are you thinking, ah, fantastic, I can now take off my work coat and I'm going to go home and that's it. And tomorrow that will be there. So that's kind of like your safe space. But then some people feel like when they get home, they're like, you know what? Like, I've always wanted to write a book, or I always wanted to do this DIY project at home, and I'm going to do it. So that kind of like courage, that kind of I'm going to do it. You either want to do it or you don't want to do it. Some people are ambitious. And so, yes, you have to have the courage. And you see, the courage equate, the amount of scariness that it takes to have the courage equates to the satisfaction you're going to get when the project is complete. It's a like for like. You know, you can't look at the people that have what you want and say, I want that, but not be willing to put in the fear and the effort to get that. It's not fair. You can't have the one or the other. But, you know, if you're going to take that chance and if you're going to put that effort in, then when you get the satisfaction at the end, you deserve it. So that's the way that I think it works.
It's a very, very interesting. And you can see the reaction. It's quite interesting. Gail says, sounds absolutely awful. No human contact, which is not really what you're saying at all.
Correct.
But, service providers will physically have to do the work. Doctors, builders, etc. Yes, of course. I don't think that what Adi is saying is that everybody works in their own home and we never see human contact again. I think it's actually quite the contrary, because what this actually means is you've got more contact with different people. You don't have the same environment that you're relying on. You're reaching out to different environments. Am I right?
So the time that you spend interacting with people is not going to be spent in a work environment. So you can work remotely and in a silo, completely alone in your home. But then it also means that you've got a lot of extra time where you're now actually working out of Australia, and now you're spending 6 hours of the day with your Australian family. So you're just being more efficient with your time. So instead of traveling to work and working in an office and spending 250 days of the year doing that, and then 1 month of the year in Australia with your family, you're rather spending, you know, all your time in Australia, and then you're working remotely and smartly. But then when you put that down, because you didn't travel and because you didn't spend all that time in the cubicle, the time that you are spending interacting with people is just more quality time. So it doesn't mean you're going to be sitting in a basement. It just means you're smarter with your physical time.
Adi Kaimanovits, and that's unfortunately where we need to leave it. I believe that you're a finalist of the Jewish Achievers on Sunday night. Just to wish you all the best and well done for that achievement. It's very interesting to speak to you. Just as I said, we chatted exactly, as you said, exactly a year ago, you've anticipated a lot of where the world is going. It'll be interesting, of course, to catch up with you to see how a lot of this transpires.